Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to the What to Read Next podcast. I am so happy to have you back. Today, our guest is Stacey, who's a bookstagrammer behind Prose and Pilot and Book of the Month Judge. In this episode, we chat how she landed a sweet gig of Book of the Month Judge, as well as her book recommendations. Now let's get to the show. Hi, Stacey. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us who you are.
My name is Stacey Armand. My Instagram account is Prose and Pilot. By day, I am a data analyst and a part-time reading tutor. And then at night, I'm an avid reader who just reads as much as I can. And I'm a wife and a mom.
I love it. I'm so excited to talk to you. So you started Saltwater Reads. What inspired you to get started?
Well, when I started my book account, I met, you know, you connect with other book accounts online, and there was a girl on there named Courtney, and her account is Courtney's Bookshelf. And we got to talking, and I realized she lives in Houston. I'm in Lafayette. We're very close. We've both got little boys, and we like the same books. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of, we're talking about it. We just love everything bookish, and we're really passionate about women's fiction, particularly debut authors. Ooh. So we wanted to provide a platform for new authors to get the word out about their books. And so that's kind of how it started. Now we have some authors, you know, who come on who aren't debut authors, but we really try to focus on debut female authors as much as possible. The book club's a year and a half old, and we've got a really good following. They're really active. They love, you know, books just as much as we do. So we have a lot of really good engagement. And then at the end of the month, we have a discussion on our Instagram page, and we've been fortunate that sometimes the authors will pop in, which is really cool. Because like that's our rock stars to us. Like we're always so excited. Our book club is about 18 months old, and we've been lucky enough to have 13 authors participate.
Oh wow.
So we've got so it's really exciting. And then all our followers, we encourage everybody to post pictures all through the month. Mm-hmm. And then we'll repost their pictures, you know, about three times a week. So it's just a great way to get an author some exposure. And then we love it because, you know, we get to discover new works and help get them in the hands of readers.
I love it. So I got a question. How do you select a book for the month? Like, what's the process look like for you?
For Saltwater Reads or for Book of the Month? Because I am a book. Okay.
Let's do Saltwater Reads and then let's talk about Book of the Month. I'm actually curious.
Okay. What we do is we just research.
Okay.
And I'll research titles. Courtney will research titles. And then we are constantly bouncing them off of each other. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that we read are really mainstream, and then other times they're not. We try to have a really good variety. Mm-hmm. But it's really just whatever appeals to us. We don't read the books ahead of time because we like to read them while, you know, all of our followers are reading them too, so that we can have, you know, the same kind of reactions that they have and experience it, you know, in real time. So we don't like read a book and then pick it. We just, based off of research, based off of reviews. And then a lot of times she or I will reach out to the authors and just kind of get a feel for, you know, what their book is about. And that's how we select them.
I like it. Oh my gosh. That's so interesting. Cause I'm thinking of starting a book club. And for me, one of the things is like, do I read the book beforehand picking it or do I wait to read it?
So, well, like, and I mean, I guess the reason for us is we encourage honesty. We want, I mean, obviously be respectful. We would never want anyone to, you know, we certainly don't bash authors, but there are going to be times when you read something and it just doesn't work for you. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, you know. Yeah. So we encourage respectful discussion. And we just feel like, you know, for us, we just like to read it as everybody else reads it, just so that we can have that.
I like it. So let's talk about Book of the Month. How did you land at that gig?
Well, I was a baby Bookstagrammer. I had only been on Bookstagram, like, I don't know, 4 months maybe.
Okay.
It was in the very beginning. And when I found the book community on Instagram, I was just blown away because I've always been a reader, but it wasn't really cool. You know, like now it's cool and everybody reads and everybody wants to, you know, have books, which is wonderful. But I'm a little older, so like that wasn't how it was for me growing up. I was, you know, kind of seen as really nerdy. But when I found their subscription, I was like, well, this is fantastic. And I loved the selections. And so I started getting their monthly book box. And then they ran a contest for all of their followers. They had like, I don't know, 300,000 followers at the time. And it was open to all of their followers. And you posted a picture, and they sent out a bookmark, and you wrote a sentence. And then from those entries, they selected people. And so I made it through the first round, and then I had to submit some written essays, and I made it through that round and had to do a phone interview, and so I made it through that round. And then I had to do, I think, 2 more written essays after that. And then they called me, and I nearly died.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, it just was so amazing. And, I mean, I love Liberty Hardy. She's one of the judges. Samantha Irby. And then, of course, they have, like, all the celebrities. That this was before. They've changed their format a little now. But this was before the change. So they had like Andy Cohen and, and I just was like completely blown away that, you know, I'm in the judging, you know, on the judging page with all of these amazing people. So it still is very surreal, for me, but I love it so much. I love when they reach out to me. I've been a judge for 2 years and I've selected 3 books. The first one was The Love Interest, and then the second one was Kate Holohan. Let's see, was it Lies We Told or The Lies Between Us or something? I can't but I'm having a blank. And then last year it was As Bright as Heaven.
Oh my God.
So I enjoy it. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I did pick The Love Interest, actually. That was my first book of the month, by the way.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh. You just said it. I was like, wait, I know that book. I actually own it. So
yes,
that's awesome.
Yes. Well, thank you.
So how do you pick the books? Do you read them beforehand? Do you read quite a few books beforehand?
The Book of the Month team picks several books.
Okay.
And then they send a book to you. So you don't, it's not like you have a wide variety to choose from. And I mean, you can get a book and if it doesn't click with you, then you just say, this just doesn't work for me, you know, and you pass. No, every time they've reached out to me, I've done it because it's just so much fun. It's a great experience. But yeah, they narrow it down themselves because they just get thousands of books, you know, constantly. So they weed through it. And then once they decide who's judging for the month, then they send, you know, a book out and let them read it and see what they think.
I love it.
But it's a quick process because they're usually like a month or 2 months ahead of the game.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yes, you have like 10 to 14 days to turn it around. So you've got to read it, you know, think on it, and then write this review. And it was really intimidating for me, initially because, you know, it goes out and their following is so huge and you're on their website and like your words are up there. And I really wanted to, you know, make their team and their establishment proud. So it was very intimidating. And then of course, as you know, like not everybody likes everything. So, you know, it can be interesting to see their responses, on Instagram and online and, you know, but if I like a book, I like it and I stand by it.
I love it. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, other people have different opinions and that's okay.
Sure. Not every book works for every reader and that's perfectly okay.
That is true. So let's talk about reading life. When do you read?
Well, I read whenever I can. I do work. I have two jobs. I work a full-time job as a data analyst, like I said earlier. And then my son is severely dyslexic. So I began learning different methods to help him read. And we have a dyslexic reading clinic here. And over the years, I've been training to become a certified dyslexia tutor.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yes, because that's a whole nother podcast. Mm-hmm. Because I can talk for hours about dyslexia and, you know, the programs that they have in the school and how hard it is to get your child what they need. So this was something that was really important to me because especially being as much of a reader as I am and to have my son not be able to do it and to watch him struggle. I wanted him to experience what it's like when you open a book and lose yourself in the story and, you know, experience what it's like to read about other places and things. And, it's been very challenging for us. So I have a very busy work week. So I have a book with me in my purse, in my car, at my desk. So anytime I've got a few minutes or like lunch breaks, I always read on my lunch breaks. Mm-hmm. But then the bulk of my reading is at night. My husband and my son have gone to bed, I'm a night owl, so I'll stay up, which can be bad because sometimes you know how it is. You get into a book and it's wonderful and you're like, okay, I just need a little more. I can, you know, and then you look up and it's 2:30 in the morning and, and you're, you know, you can't stop reading. So that can be bad the next day when I go to work with a book hangover like that. But I read mostly at night.
I love it. Yeah, I read at night. I read in the mornings now. Somehow I'm waking up early and I get an hour of reading. But night used to be the bulk of my reading for me.
Yeah.
So what do you love most about reading?
Well, I just love how books can take you anywhere. I mean, there's just so much to learn about the world and people and life experiences. And I love how books expose you to that. Like I love how, you know, one night I can be reading and I'm following, you know, a journalist walking through the streets of Cuba. And then the next day I can pick up another book and I'm reading about, you know, an editor in New York City. Like I just love the variety and that there's just endless possibilities and that whatever you want to learn about or expose yourself to, there's a story for that. And I love reading other people's stories. I think that's so important and I think it helps build empathy and I just love it all. It's hard for me to narrow down to, you know, when people ask you a favorite genre or a favorite book, because I just like all of it. I'm a very eclectic reader. And basically if it sounds interesting, I want to read it. So I just like that there's just so much variety, you know, in the book world. I mean, you can read about anything and I just think that's great.
Yes, that is very true. So how do you choose your next read? Do you keep a TBR or are you a mood reader?
I do keep a TBR. Because of my day job, I'm kind of a spreadsheet nerd.
Okay.
I have a very intricate spreadsheet.
Okay.
That's how I keep track. I usually what I do is I have a mix. It's, you know, I get ARCs from publishers now, which is really, really nice. And then mm-hmm. I have my new releases, and then I have my backlist books. So mm-hmm. I am a mood reader, but what I'll do at the beginning of the month is kind of look at everything that I have, and some, you know, I try to fulfill my publisher obligations first and mm-hmm. read the ARCs that are releasing, you know, that month. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's just whenever strikes my mood. So okay. It's kind of a mix of both.
I like it. I like that idea of, you know, just having some obligations, but then allowing yourself to be a mood reader and to put books
on. Yes. And I had to be careful because when I started, you know, I started on NetGalley, which is wonderful. And I use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went crazy because, like, you don't know if they're going to approve you or not. So yep. I ended up, you know, like, you just click. Oh, this sounds good. This sounds good. Click, 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 click. Like, I'm a very aggressive clicker. And so then, you know, you wake up the next day and you've got 15, you know, approvals. And so it just kind of got very out of hand there when I, early on. Now I'm much more, you know, now that I kind of know how things work and where to look for to research titles, I have narrowed my request a good bit. I try now not to have more than 5 ARCs a month, just because it's just for me. If a publisher takes the time to send me a book, or an author sends me a book, has reached out to me and we've spoken and I agree to review a book, I want to review that book. You know, mm-hmm. So I don't like to overextend myself. And plus too, I feel like, it's you get burned out. I mean, I would love for this to be, you know, my paid job, but it's not. So, it's a hard balance with work and everything. So I really learned to scale way back as far as the requests go. You know, it's just kind of a trial and error process for me.
Yeah, I think with me, when NetGalley has been a trial and error process, like, I have a good feedback ratio, although I went crazy in December and I requested way too many books. And I was like, when am I going to read them all? You know?
Yes, well, I know. And I feel guilty. Like, it's staring at you. Or, like, I'll get on my Kindle and I see all these books and I'm just like, oh my goodness. And then I just kind of lock up and I'm like, well, I don't even know what I need. You know, what do I read next? And to me, it shouldn't ever feel like a chore. And I love reading, but, like, there was a point there where there was just so much, and I was like, okay, I need to reevaluate my process. So I stayed off of NetGalley for a very long time.
Yeah.
Just now slowly getting back on there. So
yeah, just be more explicit about it. Just picking the ones that you like.
Much more deliberate about what I request than when I started, for sure.
So do you keep track of the book that you read?
I do. I mean, I've got my spreadsheet, and then I use Goodreads. Goodreads will tell you at the end of the year how much you've read and all the pages and all that stuff. Because my son has the learning disability that he has, I am not one, like, you're never going to come on my account or my blog and see me post, I read, you know, 200 books and I read this percentage was this and this, because to me, if you're reading, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Whether you read 2 books a year or 400 books a year. Mm-hmm. And I know there's such pressure. I see it with my son in school where he has to, like, meet the levels, to read. And, it just makes reading not fun. And I know I've seen, you know, on Instagram when people comment and they're like, I'm a slow reader. I can't read all these books. And then they don't like it. And I just think that's not what it should be about. So I am not ever one to really talk about how much I read or anything like that, just because I feel like if you're reading, then that's fantastic. And if you just read 5 books a year, then good for you. You know, so I don't put a whole lot of emphasis on the number side of it, which, I mean, if the people that do, that's great. And I'm amazed at how many books some people can crank out in a year.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, when I see, you know, I see how much my son struggles with, you know, having to always constantly push to hit that certain number at school. And it just kind of takes the joy out of it a little bit for him. So I do not put a big emphasis on that for on my account.
That sounds good. Yeah. Well, you were mentioning you're an eclectic reader. So what would be your go-to genre that you tend to gravitate towards? Yeah.
My go-to genre is memoir. I love a good memoir. Because true stories to me, I mean, sometimes they're it's just incredible to me, the things that people endure and live through, and just people's life stories. I'm very interested in it. So that memoirs are definitely my go-to.
So what would be top three favorite memoirs you read, or memorable memoirs you read?
My top three would definitely, let's see. It would be, it's What I Do by Lindsay Addario. She is a female photojournalist. I don't know if you're familiar. She's a female photojournalist. She has covered, you know, life under the Taliban. She's covered the genocide in Darfur. She's covered the violence in the Congo. She's been kidnapped by pro-Qaddafi forces. She goes all over the world and documents women and the struggles that they face and how hard it is for them and other cultures and just their day-to-day life. And I just am in complete awe of what she does. A lot of the images that you see, like in Time and CNN and stuff, are her images. So I think as a woman, you know, to insert yourself in those kind of scenarios, number one, it's incredibly dangerous. Mm-hmm. She's had a lot of, you know, things happen, and she talks about that in her book. But, like, for her, it's always, you know, the importance of telling these women's stories and how they live and how they thrive and you know, how they raise their families. And I just am fascinated by it. So her memoir is one of my top ones. Mm-hmm. And then another one that I read last year, I think, is called Gorilla and the Bird.
Okay.
And it is about a young man who is bipolar, but he's a very successful lawyer, you know, very highly functioning with his mental illness. But it's an incredible look at what it is like to live with that illness and what happens to him when he has a break. And so in the book, he is the gorilla and the bird is his mother. Mm. And it was one of the most beautiful stories about a mother's love and just how, I mean, this woman, she's just amazing. And she just, you know, her complete devotion to him and to get him help, and that whenever, you know, he would be hospitalized or whenever he would be arrested. And it goes into all that too about the prison system and how so many people incarcerated, you know, have mental illnesses and they're just not getting the right medicine or they don't have the resources for treatment. It was just an incredible book. I loved it. Very, very, very powerful. And they're both on Instagram. I've had the, you know, good fortune to interact with them, and I just have great respect for them. It's a really powerful account, of mental illness and living with it, you know, every day.
I'm definitely going to pick that one up. Thank you.
It's really good. It's really good. Because when I started it, I was like, okay, this reads like, you know, almost like a thriller fiction. You know, the opening scene, like you don't realize. And then you're like, oh, my goodness. It was just very well done. Very well done.
So what are your top three favorite books of all time?
It's not, you know, I wouldn't say this is like carved in stone, but Pillars of the Earth is I just love that book. The Poisonwood Bible, And then this past year I read She Would Be King. And it just was the most, it was just magnificent. I mean, I still, you know, I posted about it. I talked about how much I loved it. I tried to put it into words. I couldn't review it because I'd never read anything like it. It was just phenomenal. So that is definitely on the list.
I love it.
So I guess that would be it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Who are your go-to authors?
I would say Jasmine Ward, because I feel like nobody writes the South the way that she does. Mm-hmm. Chanel Cleeton, I loved Next Year in Havana. I loved that book, so she's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I also like thrillers and murder mysteries, so Anthony Horowitz, Joe Nesbo are my go-tos for thrillers, and then Louise Penny, she wrote the Armand Gamache thriller mm-hmm. series, and I love those. I like to read those in the winter, though, because they're based in Canada, and it's just like a cozy mystery, you know, and it's so those are wintertime books for me. So those are my go-tos, really.
I love it. Favorite book that you read in 2018?
Okay. I came up with, I had to like go, I was like, I don't know how much, you know,
yeah.
It's hard because I read super, super good books. Last year, there were just so many amazing titles, but the ones that just like really impacted me, Freshwater, mm-hmm. Once Upon a River, The Word is Murder, A Place for Us, Putney, The Reckonings, which is phenomenal. That's a great, if you have not read that book, put that on your list. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Becoming by Michelle Obama. I mean, I was just blown away. I think everybody who's read it has been blown away. Mm-hmm. Next Year in Havana, and then The Air You Breathe would be my top.
I love it. Yeah, I got quite a few of those. I have them on my TBR. So now mm-hmm. that you mentioned they're your favorite books, I'm probably going to put them up in the list. So.
Yes. Move them up the list.
Move them up, yeah.
They're all, yes.
So what's your most anticipated new release for 2019?
I have four. Okay. But I can only do one because I mean I know it's already like 30 minutes. Freshwater was one of my favorite books last year. And it was another book in the vein of She Would Be King mm-hmm. in that I'd never read anything like it. Like I thought about that book for weeks. And then the author had her website, so I went and I looked at her website, and she had this art, which I really wish she had put her art in the book, because it would have just made it that much more. You know, I'm a very visual person, but her name is Akweki Amazi. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Mm-hmm. She has a new book coming out called Pet. The release date has not been announced. I just know it's coming out sometime this year, and it is about finding monsters in a world that claims they don't exist. And she's just very words fail me. I just like, I'm just in awe. Freshwater just blew my mind. So whatever she writes, I want to read. So I'm really excited about that. Super, super excited about A Woman Is No Man by Ada Frum. Mm-hmm. I have been lucky enough to connect with her on Instagram. She's just a wonderful woman. She's just super inspirational. Her book comes out in March, and like I am counting down the days. I'm so excited to read it. I hope lots of people will read it. I think it's going to be very powerful. It speaks to the, you know, women's experience. I'm excited about that one. And then Chanel Cleeton, like I said earlier, she's one of my go-to auto-buy authors, and she has a new book coming out, When We Left Cuba. Mm-hmm. And then Elizabeth Gilbert has City of Girls coming out, so I'm excited about those.
Yeah, I'm excited about City of Girls. That seems like perfect fit for me. I did book three when we left Cuba, and it was so good. So
really,
yeah,
I'm so really excited. Good. I mean, I just love her book. So
strong female protagonist, Yeah, it was a strong female protagonist. She set her ways, and it was just amazing. So
I'm sure. Yeah.
So what's one book that everyone loves but you cannot stand?
Oh, my goodness. I am probably going to get a lot of clap back for this, but Frederick Bachman, A Man Called Ove. Everyone that I know loves him, loves his work, and it just does not work for me. Same with John Green. He did Turtles All the Way Down. It's just not for me. It just doesn't work for me. So
yeah, I agree.
And people are usually shocked. They're like, "What? You didn't like this?" You know, and I just, I'm like, "No, sorry."
I agree. I ended up DNFing Beartown. I read the first 130 pages, and I felt it was too slow for me. It was like not. And I love hockey. I love, you know, the intricacies of it. And for some reason, I couldn't connect with the characters, and it was just too slow.
Well, that's how with the Ove book, I just was like, I am just bored to tears. I am so bored. And so I have not read anything else that he's written, and everyone has tried. And I'm just like, well, maybe one day, but there's so many other things that I know I'm going to like. Maybe one day I'll circle back and give it another shot.
What's your go-to book recommendation? What's the book that you recommend to pretty much everyone?
My go-to would be, it just depends on, I always like to ask people what they're in the mood to read.
Okay.
So, I'm going to say if you're in the mood for a creepy true story, then go with I'll Be Gone in the Dark. If you're in the mood for a moving family saga, go for A Place for Us. If you need a book that just feels like a big hug and it has dogs in it, which I love animals, it's Life on a Leash. It's just a happy book. Women's fiction, The Salt House by Lisa Duffy, Belong to Be by Marissa de los Santos, The Air You Breathe, Firefly Lane. If you like quirky stories, Chemistry, I loved that one. I love Sourdough. Southern fiction, let's see, Whiskey and Ribbons, When We Were Worthy, Cane River, The Help, Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood, trying to think, historical fiction, The Nightingale, Alias Grace, The Red Tent, and thrillers. I read a lot of thrillers as well. So Unsub, The Child Finder, anything by Karen Slaughter. But I will say Karen Slaughter is very graphic. And her books are usually pretty violent. So if that's not your thing, proceed with caution with her work, because there's a lot of trigger things in her books usually. And Joe Nesbo, I love. He's a Scandinavian author, and I love his Harry Hull series and anything he writes, really. So I don't have a specific go-to.
I love that.
As you can see.
Yeah, but these are great recommendations. I love that your OT was a recommendation for a little bit of everything. So that was awesome.
So thank you.
Tell us where we can find you online.
Online, I have a blog. It's Prose and Palette. And then I'm on Instagram under the same name. And then also, our Saltwater Reads Book Club is on Instagram as well. And then you can also find me on the Book of the Month, bookofthemonth.com, under the Judge Gallery.
I love it.
Where I am.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I've had so much fun, and I know I talk a lot. But I'm very passionate about books. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Stacey, for a great list of book recommendations. For a detailed list of books mentioned in the podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/96. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a fantastic day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.